Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Abba.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. There's friends of mine I've just remembered now that as we started recording the episode, there's a friend of mine who was listening to, I think, our episode for last week. Someone who I didn't even think listens to the podcast. And they were like, of course I listen. And then they wrote on like WhatsApp. They're like, hey, hey, Caitlin. They're like, that's my daily greeting. Our favorite podcast greeting.
Hey, do you think we should like liven up our greetings? I don't know if that's how, like, I would say hi to you if we were in person. I don't know.
I think you don't know
sound
if that's
really
how you'd
nonchalant
say hi.
About it. I don't know.
No.
Okay, so there's this TikTok going around right now that's like, oh my gosh, it's sending me. So it's basically like the title of it is like white people on a hike. And it's like this guy, have you seen it? I have to send it to you. But it's this guy that's like walking, like pretending to walk past people going, hi, hi, hi. And like, that's like, I do that. Like, I definitely do that, like, whisper breathy hi. And it's so...
As you're passing by random people, so once in a while I do that. And every time I do that, I'm always very hyper-aware that in my head, it's like, it's an American thing because it's definitely something I learned in Hillsdale. But it's just like that like, just walking by and being like, hi, hi. Like,
hi,
what?
Hi. Yeah. And it's so funny. And like, how
it's
I
like
say hi to people.
Politeness,
it's like,
is
why don't I just say
culture,
hi? I know, like, or I could just smile. I mean, I think a lot of times I do just like smile at people, but when I say hi, it's always like, hi.
Because how weird is it saying like a loud hi to multiple random strangers, like, hello? Like, that sounds like you're pausing for a conversation. Also, even
know,
the
maybe.
Smile thing, that's also a white American thing.
I know. I mean, the like weird, creepy white people smile is like, is funny, but I don't think, I don't, so, okay.
I
don't
that
do
meme
the
of that smile.
Yeah, like the I definitely don't do that, but I love it when people do because it just makes me giggle. You know, it's like this awkward like you can almost hear like there's a sound.
There's a very specific stretch of the mouth your teeth should never show.
It is really funny. Anyway, so I don't know.
White American culture is very elite. We should talk about some of the like the top highlights sometime.
I mean, I think we should do an episode of all of like your hot take because it would be so funny.
No, that smile. And I'm always, it's so fun because it's like, it kicks in some places, like maybe a supermarket when I'm in close proximity of someone and I'm crossing each other. And I'm like, I know it's not necessary in the context that I live in. And I do the breathy high as well when I'm walking past on stairs. It's just like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you kind of need to acknowledge the person.
I don't know. I saw like a response TikTok and this guy was like, I do a nod. I return your hi with a nod. So
I like a young nod. I'm more of a nodder than a smiler. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, I could see you being more of a nodder because you're like, you're cool. I definitely like don't give off like cool vibes when I'm like walking. I don't know. Anyways,
that's
so funny.
We should definitely discuss it sometime. But how are you doing? You were telling me that it's like an eclipse week. The vibes are off in
the
world. What's
tonight? The vibes are off. They are off. Everything feels heavy. Yeah, I don't know. I also am taking time off next week for the first time in like a really long time. So I'm at that like hitting a wall point, you know? But I mean, I think the energy just in general, nothing to do with me personally, but like it's heavy right now. Do you feel that?
I've been feeling it. And the thing is, like, over Easter, it felt like the energy had gotten lighter. So I've been very hyper aware of this, what feels like a sudden switch this past week. But yesterday was a shit day, but it's kind of been shit days since Friday last week. There's been quite a few shit days sprinkled.
And they all blur together at this point.
Yeah. What's the, so I was wondering, like, I know the end of Ramadan is linked to like a sighting of the moon, and I know Ramadan is coming because the announcement was just sent by the government. Y'all don't get a day off for Eid al-Fitr, right, in America?
No, but I mean, I know that if you celebrate and recognize that date, technically, like, you're supposed to be able, it's a religious holiday. So, but no, like,
so the people who practice the religion can get it off, but other people have to go to work.
Yeah. So, like, when I worked in an elementary school, like, a lot of the kids didn't come in for that day, but, and like, it wasn't like an absence or, you know, whatever. But everyone else had to go to school.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So it's a national holiday.
Damn straight. Mm. We're a solid country that makes everyone rest on peak prayer days.
Lovely.
So this Friday is a public holiday, which funnily I'd like tried to book the day off. And so I canceled the request, like literally, I think in the middle of the night. So I was like, wait, the government says that's a day off anyway. I don't need to take it. But so the,
I don't have that count against you.
No, exactly. And then I was like, I should push it to Monday, but it's so busy. Part of like the bad vibes, heaviness, feels like I need to like put in a lot of time at work to get things done. So I probably won't take additional time off. Yeah, but the moon sight, I know there's something happening with the change of the moon right now. So if it's that, if because the Ramadan moon switch is a big one, and if there's also an eclipse happening, I think the moon cycle is a bit on an overdrive currently.
But yeah.
It's been intense.
My, do you use the app CoStar? Are you on there?
No, but I follow CoStar Astrology on Instagram.
So I'm on the, I use the app, and this is what my, can you see this? I'm trying to show you.
I'm seeing a screen. Okay, pause. Yes.
That's what my thing says right now.
Your heart is out of your, oh, for God's sake, your heart is out of your control.
Just my heart is, yeah. Which I've been feeling so bad and like all over the place. And I was like, oh, this is nice.
Oh, okay. So actually, speaking of your heart being out of control and feeling that a lot. Yeah, I guess today I wanted to talk about a little bit about, you know, like wellness and self-care practice. But in general, but like in life, to make sure that we don't completely lose sync when either the universe is doing its thing or like active everyday life things are doing their thing. What are you doing to take care of yourself? And specifically, I guess, yeah, what's going on in your therapy life right now? Or what's your status update in your last one?
I am not in therapy right now, which has been...
I wish you could see Caitlin's eyes as she's saying it. I know, on the left eye, the deep therapy needed. I guess.
It's very needed. And that's something, I don't, you know, it's like something that's so good, can be so good for you and so necessary. And it's just the thing that I've been putting off for like a year and a half since I moved here. And like my boss, like just with the, how emotionally like taxing our job is, like he's always stressing with everyone, like, are you going to therapy? Like, are you doing weekly therapy? Like, he really pushes it because he's like, we're all going to burn out. This is just so emotionally draining. And so it's like, it's been on my list for like a year and a half, and I have not. I found someone here that just reading about them online, I was pretty interested and thought we might be a good fit, which I know is hard to tell until you're actually with someone in person to read, you know, how you kind of mesh. And I just need to do it because I could definitely use it. And I feel like I'm still, I had this like amazing therapist when I lived in North Carolina. And so I still like think about the stuff that like she told me every day. Like that's what's like getting me through. Like she was just so wonderful. And but that's not gonna carry me forever.
You can ride on it for a while though. No, but like you're saying you've found someone where you are right now. So I guess you've read reviews. So I'm curious, like how do you exactly, like in the past, how do you go about choosing a therapist? How do you search for a therapist, and what does like your testing period usually look like? And is it like virtual? Oh. Like, yeah, how do you kind of, and how are you planning to handle that process even now once you restart?
So I think it's really hard. So when I was seeing a therapist in North Carolina. Like, it was more like I was feeling like I was about to have a nervous breakdown, and I didn't have insurance at that point. So I was calling like everyone, and everyone was like, no, we can't get you. No, we can't get you. And then this, I think one reason why I liked her, she was like, I actually don't have space to take new clients, but if you can't get anywhere else, like, I will make room for you. I will, you know, because her whole thing was like, everyone should have access to therapy, and I'll do sliding scale for you, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So that, and then she ended up being like the best therapist ever. And her approach to therapy was like, you don't go to therapy just when you are in crisis. She was saying this, like, therapy, she saw it as like kind of like a lifelong relationship, and you go just as frequently when things are going really well. So it was really interesting. But, you know, other
where
places
are you
I've
seeing
lived,
her now, even virtually,
if you had such I don't know, because when I mean I left, and now I feel like it'd be weird to be like, hi, I'm back 5 years later.
She's a
I don't
doctor.
Know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I could reach out. But then other, you know, I think, like, other therapists I have tried, like, I do kind of, I haven't had that kind of experience again, you know. It kind of is, like, exhausting, because you see someone for a while, and then you're like, okay, like, they may be great, but, like, we're just not a fit. And then I just get exhausted to, like, do it all over again, you know. Because finding someone is exhausting. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, finding someone is exhausting. I'm definitely... So I was just thinking, you know, like, the way a therapist is saying, like, it's a lifelong relationship. I definitely remember thinking, like, in my adolescent/teen years, whenever I'd watch TV, and Americans are always in therapy, you know, like, since the 90s, and it just, like, looked like all of the characters on TV are always in therapy. I remember being like, why is... Clearly, if it was working, they wouldn't all, like, this, you know, like, but I think, of course, like, just understanding that it's a, especially when you find a good therapist, that it's more like building, it's a maintenance, just like a life maintenance thing, and not just for when there's, like, something drastic happening. But I'm definitely the kind of person who, for me, therapy is triggered by crises, which is so bad, because more often than not, if I'd been in therapy before, the crisis would not have happened.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that's how most people, like, approach it.
But I've not been in therapy as well. I mean, part of it is a sign that I've not had any major crisis in a while, but I definitely started feeling like at tail end of Q4, beginning this year. That's when I kind of actively started feeling like I need, which by the time I'm like, I need therapy, things are kind of
out
of control.
It's too late. No, I'm just kidding. Never too late, but, like, it's not, you're not good.
If the panic has set it, it's too late. That means I did therapy 6 months ago. But I like, so I need to switch therapists. I think for me, the barrier right now is I don't have a therapist in my Rolodex that I'm like, I'd be keen on. And it's part of why I need to go to therapy. The fact that I feel like I can re-therapize my therapist and be like, I've outgrown you. I need someone who there's like a base respect that I need to have for my therapist outside of even just feeling like you can therapize me. And I feel like when that's switching, then the relationship dynamic is not going to be helpful anymore, because now I'm not taking anything you say seriously anymore. And so I'm not even, like, speaking to myself the way I need to. So I knew I couldn't continue with my last therapist. Like, I tried tapping back in. I'd taken a break from them. And then I paid for, like, 2 sessions. And I was just like, this is a waste of my time. Like, I've between the last time I saw you and the number of therapy pages I followed on Instagram and the books I read, like, what you're giving me, I already have it.
Yeah, so, and I think that's all about, like, finding your match, right?
I mean, I feel like, so I have like an American cousin who lives in Kenya who has seen America. I don't know why I've been feeling like I want someone, because it's also tricky in the Kenyan context. Like, I worry, aside from like the science of the skill, like the cultural context of some of the things that I want to discuss, I need to be clear that you're open-minded in, I'm not going to, like, I don't want to have a situation where I feel like I'm explaining a certain part of myself or, like, feeling it, you know? So, like, I know that's been tricky. I like having like a black woman therapist. And for mm-hmm. a black woman therapist in the Kenyan context who's older than me, I needed to be someone who I don't feel like is too conservative to, like, I don't want to have a base of like trying to lay a foundation of like queer identity. Like some that's bullshit, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah.
Yeah, like you have to feel comfortable being completely honest, and otherwise what's the point?
Yeah.
But I think that's like, I've heard that from friends in the U.S. too, that, I mean, because I know it is changing and so many more people are going into, you know, that profession. But for the most part, it's very like white women have been the dominant, like, you know, therapy professionals in the U.S. and mm-hmm. Talking to friends who are not white and just how tricky it is to like navigate, because like they wanna, especially if they're like, you know, I have a lot of friends who are maybe like first or second generation in the U.S. and finding a therapist that gets like their situation but also has like the cultural background to understand, like, you know what I mean? Like if you're like a first generation, you know, immigrant to the U.S. Anything else, like,
that you're working
yeah,
with, that, like,
if you're talking to like nuances, a white woman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like, I have to pay black tax. Like, you know, it's not mm-hmm. like those like key points, but for me, it's like kind of the underlying tone and nuance that might be, you know, like if you're telling me to, I could have toxic aunties, but like cutting mm-hmm. off family, the way I will approach considering being able to like cut off a family member is so different from how someone in a more yeah. like individualistic society would approach it, whether it's the right thing or not to do, you know? So it's yeah. tricky finding someone who you feel like would understand your frame and also be like a solid enough therapist for you.
Yeah. And there are just so many layers to it, I think. That's why I really like that it seems like so many therapists now, they kind of like on their website or where, you know, where they're not like advertising, but just have their information. They kind of say like, this is the framework that I'm coming from. You, if XYZ applies to you, I might be a good fit mm-hmm. for you. If XYZ doesn't, then like, you know, that's kind of out of my frame of reference or something.
I should probably
it just seems like there's more...
websites.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, for anything, I think that kind of makes sense. And
yeah. Know. Have you ever considered therapy for like anything else outside of just general therapy? I know I was talking to a friend of mine who is recently seeing a sex therapist, which I think is so interesting. And now I'm like, I want to become a sex therapist.
But you just want to be Esther. You want to be Esther Perel.
I want to be the overwhelming urge to morph into Esther Perel each day. She's probably the person I respect the most in the world.
I love your love for Esther. But no, I mean, I would love... I guess it's kind of how we talked on our last episode, even like friendship, like therapy or something yeah. like that. I mean, I love the idea of like doing some other kind of therapy. I got to get into just regular stuff first, but like that's next on my list. But yeah, totally. I don't know exactly what at this point, but definitely.
Yeah. And for me, even in that regard, like, in my head, and probably also because of Esther Perel, I think of sex therapy within the context of intense things happening in a marriage or life partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes, this is a married person, but it's not even like, of course, like if there's things that you're working through in your sexuality, it's happening with, but it's not about, it almost mm-hmm. has nothing to do with her, like her marital sexual relationship.
Yeah.
But it's just like, what does it look like to just be like, what is the frame of even how I approach my sexuality? What was the basis of it? And what mm-hmm. is it about, like, how you are introduced into it that's affecting? And, okay, yeah, actually, yeah, speaking of sex therapy, and not just Esther Perel, but I also have another friend who, like, through yoga, like, she's her yoga instructor who I've also, like, gone on one session with, but, like, it's almost like, it's like pelvic, it's, what's the chakra on your... on your
sacral.
It's your sacral chakra, yeah. Like it shows they've been doing like yoga sessions that's very focused on like meditations mm-hmm. and yoga focused on the sacral chakra, but like with like again like it's like there's always tension on your pelvic floor in certain motions, and it's mm-hmm. also like what he was also saying. It's like there's a communication and healing thing that she needed to have with like a pelvic floor, which had been again both affecting your sexual relationship, but more like your relationship with sexuality within yourself. But I'm just like, I wonder what it would be, because I feel like, you know, sex, it's like those childhood things, you know, like how no matter how perfect your childhood thing is, there's probably something to unpack around the way you're navigating mm-hmm. life based off of how your childhood played out. And sex, I feel like it's also, no matter how the relationship with sex is, there's probably some, it's one of those core things that's like, you know, your spiritual and inner energies are very driven by how that relationship is. So like, what does it look like to just be like, okay, what would be there to learn over here? And also the thing about a sex therapist, there's both the, like the therapy around your sexuality, mm-hmm. but then they're like, which they don't tell you, but she's like by lesson 10, she's like going to give you like sex tips now. So you win on everything.
Oh my gosh. I need to look into this. I don't know. I mean, I guess if we think of all different kinds of therapies, for anyone that doesn't know, I went to massage school. I'm also a massage therapist. And I've been thinking a lot more of like, just KD, not that's even like necessarily one of the
coolest things about UPS, and it's so dope that you're like a professionally trained massage therapist,
and I love it.
And you could not only that, but you can also carry a massage bed upstairs. Guys, Caitlin is like 5'2", the strongest.
Well,
I need a massage from you sometime, but yeah,
I know. Well, I gave a massage to someone last week, and I know it's like the therapy for someone else, but it feels like a form of therapy for me too, because I really like, I have this almost like meditative, like zone out. And afterwards, like to this person, like we were just, I was talking about like massage school and like all the things I learned and like how I think just like massage and like touch therapy is so important, and how, mm-hmm. you know, I was saying like when I first moved here, you know, a lot was going on. I like hadn't met anyone yet. You know, I was just like existing, and it had been such a long time. I didn't even realize, but like it had been such a long time since I had been like touched in any kind of way, platonically, romantically, you know, whatever, and how like poorly that affected me, you know, and how with like massage, I think that's such like a safe, you know, awesome way to kind of get these, you know, these like this like really important like non-sexual touch, you know what I mean? Or like whatever you're doing, if it's sexual too, that's fine. But I mean like just how important as a type of therapy, like non-sexual touches for humans to just like be touched by other humans, and how much it makes a difference in at least like my mental well-being. And I think when I was doing more massages, you know, some people would get really emotional, not because of anything I was doing, but just like how emotional it felt to like be touched in such like a kind, almost like therapeutic way. It was really overwhelming for a lot of people. And I think about that all the time.
So. That's so amazing. Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people. Like, I feel like I definitely worship at like the church of like massage therapy. I feel like I both love massages. I love to give massages also. I think one of my things has always been like, I do want to get like professionally trained, but I think there's something also. So, now, like, on the giving side, and just in general for touch, not even, like, as a professional, but just, like, being able to, like, focus and feel where someone might be having, you know, it's, like, reading someone's tension on their body and, like, kind of being kind enough and trying to help them release it is, like, such a special thing. Mm-hmm. And feeling someone do that for you is also so special. So, yeah, definitely, I think. And that's one of the ones I feel that's one of the things that I tap into both in crisis. I will definitely, one of the things that I pull out of like my, okay, I need emergency, my massage is always going to be, it's like, okay, I probably need to do a yoga session. I should book a massage soon. But it's also one of the things that I use to just like help take care of myself, even when things are okay. I think that's one of the things that I'm, I've not been as good in the past year and a half. I don't know why the past year and a half has just been bad for therapy as a whole.
What's happening? I started this. I was like,
I've also been trying to get back in actual therapy for the past year and a half, because around a year and a half or a year-ish ago, a year and a half, and I was like, yeah, I need to, yeah. I'm shopping around for another therapist, but yeah, I've not been as good, but I know, if and both for like,
you can feel, you know, just taking care of your body, building up,
and exercising, but it also like, it helps your mind a lot, and I feel like it's also those things where there's a, it's healing your brain, some of the way your body is, everything is interconnected, and so like taking care of a certain part takes care of another one. And yeah, when I'm being massaged, like on the base of my head, oh my gosh, that's like one of my favorite things. It, like,
helps. Oh, I love doing that too. I feel like from my perspective as like the giver of massages, like it, the feeling to like nurture someone in that way where there's like no talking, just like, you know, it like, it's such, it, I don't know, it feels very special to me and I take it really seriously. Like,
oh, I love like, that.
I don't know. That.
I'm definitely booking a massage for the end of this month.
Yeah, you've got to.
It's one of my favorite things, though, when I go to the coast, is getting like an outdoor massage and you can hear the ocean and it's just like,
oh, you with the ocean. That's a good therapy for you, like ocean sounds.
Water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ocean is definitely one of my therapists. But yeah. I think, like, we definitely, okay, so let's hold each other accountable. So the thing is, life is, I also feel like the speed that life has moved in the past 6 months
so
is
so fast.
Nothing I that know. I've said I'm trying to, like, it's just like, how is it May? This year is pretty much over.
Stop.
I've not had time to do anything. Like, it's zooming right past.
Oh. Don't say it. Oh my gosh. No, I don't know. Like, yeah, the time, I don't know. The last few years, I just think time, how I perceive time changed a little bit. I think it started with like pandemic stuff and then it's kind of just like morphed over.
I was really deep in my like lockdown nostalgia fields yesterday also. It's the moon has been doing it and I was just like, I remember a simpler time and we were just in the house and there was no FOMO and you could like focus on rest because the whole world had broken. And like connection also, both it was the saddest, like alienating space to be in, but in a lot of ways it was also like relationships going so much deeper and I was just like, I miss lockdown. This world that is speeding at a billion kilometers per hour, I'm over it.
That's so funny. You sound like my sister. She like loved that time.
And the working out, all you did was like work out on Zoom with your homies. That was a great time. You cooked, and I remember because my little brother was like, Abba, I remember you, we were eating fish, and he was like, Abba, I remember you talking about like the peak of your fish making during, and I was just like, do you know the Swahili fish curry I could make it? I can't make it now. I wouldn't take the time to like, then it was like, you're just dedicating like 4 hours to being in it. It's not like you had anywhere to go.
But I, everyone really like, really stepped up their cooking game.
You couldn't go to restaurants. The food at home had to taste good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, but I think also like some lessons taken away from that were, so obviously there were like so much, there was so much unknown, there's so much isolating factors too and blah blah blah, but also like the good things that came out of that were like the slowing down, like enjoying your food more, like not rushing, like so many times even now it's like, what am I rushing to do? And like, to be fair, I don't really rush around too much these days.
I mean,
but
compared
like
to most
still,
people,
I'm
the
like,
people on this call are, we're pretty chill in the speed of life, but it's significantly faster.
But still, sometimes I'll like find myself like getting anxious to like do what? Like, I'm like, why, you know, like, why not just like, I mean, and I cook a lot too, but even on like weeknights, I'll just be like, oh, I gotta hurry up to like make this dinner super fast to do what? You know,
I have to question myself. And then there's work, but it's true. It's not as urgent as you make it seem.
No, you're so right. Okay, one thing I wanted to say was something from massage school. So we had to take a like somatic psychology class. And one of what the things, that? So I don't actually know like what that means, but I think it was like sense or psychology of like the, your truest sensations or emotions. I could be totally wrong. But essentially we did a lot of like really intense, like emotional practices. Like one of this thing, one of these things that we did, which was like extremely emotional, was like we had two rows of us and we were facing each other and we had like 2 minutes to like face this person and basically like tell them all the things that we like liked or appreciated or noticed about them or whatever. And then after the bell rang, you'd move to the next person and tell them, and like you couldn't not cry. It was like wild. Like we were all like crying because it's so intense to like be really close to someone's face and look into their eyes and like tell them very sincere things about them. Uh-huh. Anyway, that was like one of the things we did. And I think about that all the time, just how immediately like the tears were like welling up. But another thing we did was, but also if anyone, like if you'd feel comfortable doing that with someone, just like sitting across from a friend or anyone.
I'm like, I have to build this into something I'm doing in the next month with some friends.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I mean, it was like really impactful. Yeah. Like have some people over and like just do that. It was really sweet. And everyone's like hugging and crying at the end. And like, cause you don't have that, like, it was such an intense like vulnerability and sincerity thing. So yeah, we did that. So we did lots of things like this that were like really emotionally intense. But then we did this other thing about food. So we got like the instructor, like he would give us like really tiny bites of like different things of food. And we were like sitting and like the lights were dimmed and we would have to just like let it sit in our mouth for like a really long time and like think about like the flavors and the textures and the sensations our mouth felt with it and all this stuff. And so I guess that's kind of it, like getting your sensations going and really recognizing them. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting because so many times like we eat so fast, you know, and you really like, I don't know. I mean, I think that I'm tasting stuff, but like maybe I am missing out on some like enjoyable flavors or textures or not, like, in, you know, not like, not that we can have the opportunity to like always enjoy our food like that, but it was really cool to be like, okay, once in a while I should like take a step back.
And honestly, like we could be able to do one meal like that a day. Like I don't think life is never like so fast that you can't like just pause over one meal a day, even though I can live multiple months without pausing over one meal.
Yeah.
I like that. What does it look like just being intentional in pausing and slowing down? I definitely have some friend groups where like we're very intentional about like creating spaces for like that deep connection and vulnerability, and I think that exercise would be really good in there. But I'm going to massage school. I'm gonna go to massage school.
It was the best thing I've done. Oh my gosh, you're going to do them all. Oh my gosh, I would love you teaching my yoga class. You would be so good. I know, you really would. And it would be like, let's go back to Ava ASMR. Like your tone of voice would like, we'd all have like brain tingles the whole time too.
Do you know someone told me that, wait, what was it? Someone said something about the brain itch thing, like, and without knowing the term ASMR as they were talking to me, like in relation. I was like, wait, what? Like, they don't know the concept of ASMR, but they said something about, like, my voice making, like, their brain, like, itch or something.
I hope not itch. Itch is, like, doesn't sound. But, like,
I had the correct term, but they're like, whatever they were explaining, it's like, because I was like, you need to go Google ASMR. There's this whole world of, like.
It's a whole world. Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
But
your voice would be great. Oh my gosh. You could have a whole YouTube channel. The world would be yours.
Oh my gosh, for yoga instruction. I hope that's my real dream. That's my real dream. Me living my life without the... In the world where we're in lockdown for the rest of time, I'm a yoga teacher and on YouTube. That's my peak life. In real life and on YouTube.
I like it.
Caitlin. Well,
yeah, we said we are going to have a shorter episode today, and I think we did pretty well so that we could go to sleep. Well, I was waking up so I could go to sleep. That's good for us.
And happy 420 to all who celebrate.
I can't believe it's 420.
It's going to be the busiest day of life. Jeez, speaking of no slowing down.
You should probably slow down and celebrate.
You know, I hope you sleep good, and I hope you have more chances to slow down. But for real, we'll tap in on holding each other
accountable. Check in, see how your therapist search is going. Yeah. Okay.
Let's get into it. And y'all let us know about your... If you have recommendations for therapists also, please drop them in the DMs.
Yeah. Any virtual ones too.
Especially virtual ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Julia. Well, I will talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Bye, Caitlin.